Today's reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, "Come back to God." For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvellous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, "At just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you." Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Thanks be to God for his word. Thanks be to God for his word.
Paul here is writing about why he does what he does. And he sums it all up in one fantastic sentence. The love of Christ compels us, as it says in some translations, or perhaps an older and better translation. The love of Christ constrains us. The word was used to describe a city that was under siege. Imagine the old-fashioned walled cities, and the enemy armies are surrounding this city, and everybody is trapped inside. Paul's saying, that's what it's like for me. I'm trapped by the love of Christ. I can't escape from it. It was also used to describe what was known as a cattle squeeze, where an animal would be forced into a pen so it couldn't move, so that the farmer could give it the medication. It was used of a prisoner being kept in a cell. Paul says, I and the people who work with me have been taken captive by this love. It is love that motivates everything that we do. Now, I think sometimes we can worry too much about why we do what we do, but it is important that we do look at it. You can tell in this letter that Paul is upset. He's upset because he's started off this church in Corinth, and then after he went away, other teachers have moved in who think that they are better than he is. They are people who claim all sorts of spiritual experience and spiritual knowledge. And Paul is concerned that these people who claim so much don't really love these people, and that they are actually leading them away from Jesus, that these people are out for their own interests. So Paul has to defend himself, and he treads a very difficult path because he doesn't want to big himself up. He doesn't want to make out that he is something important. His aim is to point to Jesus. But on the other hand, he has to defend what he's doing against these people. The love of Christ constrains him that he must seek to bring these people back to Jesus's love. Paul doesn't like talking like this. He wants to talk about Jesus, not talk big about himself. At one point in the letter, he says he's talking like a fool, but he has little choice. He wants to be humble, but sometimes even the most humble have to speak out. So, how do we get to this point that the love of Christ constrains us? I don't claim to have got there myself, but it's a goal. It's something I'm seeking to work towards continually, trying to get to know Jesus better. Let me suggest three things that we can do. The first one, get to know the love of Christ. I can't stress how much this comes first. Some of us have been studying Mark's Gospel. I do recommend these studies, by the way. I think that getting to know the Gospels is what enables us to get to know Jesus, as well as getting to know people who really do know Jesus. But what we find in Mark's Gospel is that there are many people who come to Jesus because they want him to do something for them, and Jesus is very generous. And then there are those who get really close to Jesus, and they find that Jesus shakes them to the core. They find that Jesus isn't who they thought that he was. And Paul, who writes that letter, has had this experience as well. In Jesus, he has discovered a God who is very different to the one that he expected. It's hemmed him in. And anything that we do as Christians is Christian to the extent that we reflect the love of Christ. Now, if we're going to do some sort of task, our skills do matter. If you're going to do the financial books, you need some training in that. If you're going to do cookery, you need to know what you're doing, etc., etc. The thing is, Paul's opponents may have been cleverer than he was. They may have been more gifted than he was. But Paul's saying, you need to stick with me, because I have discovered the love of Christ. God is at work within my heart. I'm not perfect. God's got a lot to do yet, but I can see that my heart is being changed. So get to know the love of Christ. Understand the story of Jesus better. Meditate on it. Reflect on it. Let it really touch you, because that's where real Christian work begins. Secondly, get to know that this love is for absolutely everyone. When Jesus died, it was one great act of love. He dies, and on the cross he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And Jesus stands alongside you and me with all of our faults. And God raises him from the dead, and resurrection is an act of love. God takes this broken, crushed person and lifts him out of the tomb. And Paul says, this love is for everybody. If Christ died, everybody died. If Christ has been raised, everybody can be raised. And Paul describes in 2 Corinthians how this love affects people's lives. He talks about the work of the Spirit. He talks about the veil that separates us from God being removed. But really, let's get it into our heart. God does not just love me, God loves everyone. And then thirdly, pass on that love to others. You know, I sometimes talk to people who want to know what God's plan is for their life, what his purposes are, and those are good things to ask. But I'll tell you what God's plan for your life is. God's plan is that you should learn to be loved by Jesus, and that you should pass that love on to other people. If you want to know what God's plan is for your life, start acting in a loving way. Now, don't just rush off and start doing stuff, although rushing off and doing stuff might be a good thing to do. But try and respond to the amazing love that Jesus has given you. If it's shaping you, then let that shape the way that you speak to the people in your life, to your family, to your friends, to your work colleagues, to those at your places of education. And you know, lockdown doesn't stop us from loving each other. In fact, lockdown puts pressure on us. And many of us find that we behave in ways that are not Christ-like. And unfortunately, that comes out in our news stories about issues around alcohol and issues around violence and issues about revenge crimes. We come back to Jesus and we say, Jesus, show me your love today. Show me how that love is for everyone. And let it make a difference in the way that I behave today.